man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
One of the end zone punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome you in, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with the one and only Roman Obin. It is a thank you, my friend. What happened?
You're messing it up?
What?
No. Oh, you snapped?
What?
You did it like the girl way.
I am a girl.
I know, but sports, football, you got to bro it up a little bit, man.
Anyway, we welcome you in, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Roman Obin, as always on your Wednesday hump day, talking all things New York football Giants. As, again, unfortunately, a loss to the Seattle Seahawks. This is really our first chance to talk and my first chance really seeing you since the 38-17 loss. I mean, let's just kick it out. First and foremost, like your thoughts on the game.
Well, in terms of the outcome, obviously wasn't favorable. Four games in a row now the Giants have lost. I think offensively they came out the intentions to start fast. And so they've been improving the last few weeks in terms of their starting fast, you know, scoring a touchdown in the first quarter. Not the first series, but at least the first quarter. You know, really attacking this defense, attacking the 12th man, and not being afraid to go after Richard Sherman, the Legion of Boom, and, you know, things of that nature. But I think in the second half, the 21 points in the fourth quarter, and really on the ground. I mean, you know, Anita, as a former offensive lineman, it demoralizes a defense when you can put yards on the ground in that fashion in the second half of the game. You saw Marshawn Lynch running over Jameel McClain. You saw him running over the entire defense. You saw lack of discipline, lane integrity in terms of how you play that read option. Somebody's got the dive. Somebody's got the running back. Somebody's got the quarterback. I mean, this goes back to high school defending the option. And you saw a lot of guys on that perimeter, whether it's JPP, Kiwi on the other side, Jaquan Williams, either athletically but getting out leverage or just blindly following Marshawn Lynch and then Russell Wilson is 20 yards running. I mean, he could rush for 200 yards. If you realize how many times he slid just as he got the first down or just as he got enough yards before contact, he could have, if he was one of these quarterbacks that was fearless, and I mean, he could have put his foot in the ground and gotten five more yards. He could have gotten five more yards of every carry that he had.
Were you impressed by what you saw?
Yeah,
from Russell? I mean, because, hey, let me throw the stat, because I've been talking fantasy football for the past 2 days. Ever since the trade went down with Percy Harvin going to the Jets, Russell Wilson, only 3 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions so far. So everything that he's been doing has been by his legs more so than his arm. He's got, I want to say, 3 games of 100-plus yards and 4 rushing touchdowns so far on the season. So I guess my question to you is, obviously, this because of Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, and this is the way they have to win football games, because Doug Baldwin is not a legitimate, and you and I kind of differ on
he's
this,
like a number
in regard
three
to like a number one
or
wide receiver. Yeah. He'd be a number 3 on somebody
right.
else's squad. And so this is the way that they have to win ball games, and sure enough, they were able to do it against the Giants. My question to you is, were you impressed with Russell Wilson, or were you more disappointed in the Giants' defense? Do you think the Giants' defense made Russell Wilson look good on Sunday?
I don't think in the NFL in 2014, no one should rush for 350 yards on the ground. So I was extremely disappointed in the defensive outcome. And look, you shouldn't be running free in the NFL at all. You shouldn't be running, you know, multiple 10 yards, 20 yards, the same play, mind you, the same play. So in terms of adjustment on the sidelines or from the, you know, the as far as the carrying out the plan to stop that read option, in terms of the execution, we're seeing guys as athletic as JPP or even Jaquan Williams, who's known for, you know, being able to spy your athletic quarterbacks, you know, in the past, just being out leveraged. I mean, you didn't expect to see that, and that's what we saw Sunday. And I think overall as a team, you saw a 49ers football team that was hungry, that was not leading their division right now. They're you know, in a dogfight, so to speak. I mean, they lost some games, so they're not undefeated. They, you know, barely beat the Raiders the week before. So this is a hungry team that desperately wants to restake their claim as one of the better teams in the NFL. You did not see a hungry team in the New York Giants that lost three in a row and did not want to lose a fourth game. And I think that goes back a week before with the things that Antrell Roll said, the fight, and JPP said, the heart. Alina, that wasn't shown defensively. You didn't see it. Offensively, the strategy, the implementation, like the first half. I mean, offense did enough, I think, in the first half to make it a competitive. Now, the interception, the tip.
Odell Beckham.
I mean, that looked just like the NFC Championship game that sealed the game for Seattle. I mean, that was – he's trying to make a play, get it away from Richard Sherman. Obviously, a ball gets intercepted. I mean, that was a momentum killer that I think would have been a 10-point swing in the football game.
Obviously, the show's for the fans, an opportunity for you to interact. Questions, comments, now's the time to bring them in. The phone number, 201-939-4513. Again, 201-939-4513. Also, I'm monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so at Giants, that's how you follow us. And any questions or comments, please include that hashtag GiantsChat. Before we do head out to the phone lines, going into this game, a few of the coaches said that they felt pretty good about the way that the Giants matched up against the Seattle Seahawks. And then at the half, for the Giants to kind of still to be in the game, to be in the lead at the half, I'm watching, I'm saying, wow, maybe they're onto something here. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you had that hope. Before we take the calls, I'm just curious to hear from you. What did you see differently? I know you do the post-game show. I'm assuming, was it with Amani and Sean?
Amani Toomer, Sean O'Hara, with Russ Osberg.
What did you all see? What was? I'm sure that was a hot topic of conversation. What went wrong in the second half? What did you see differently?
We just saw a lot of just defensive breakdowns. And when you start breaking down defensively, you know, the ball doesn't bounce in your favor. And I mean that literally by the two fumbles that could have stopped a couple of those drives that – with the wet ball, the rain, I mean, two fumbles that the Giants could have recovered and didn't. You know, there are three or four – there's always three or four catalysts, if you will, in the game that swing the game one way or the other. I think one was the interception. Odell Beckham tipping the ball away from Sherman that gets intercepted. That would have been at least 3 points, and I don't remember the score at that point in the game. The other one was the two fumbles. The two fumbles that defense could have recovered, had they recovered those, that's points, and that's a momentum swinger. And then third was really, from an execution standpoint, the inability to stop that read option and all those runs down the sideline. I mean, Anita, there was so much real estate between the numbers and the sidelines that it was like the run version of 7-on-7. It was going up and down. And I think that really spoke to the breakdown and the frustration of not having made more plays against the Seattle rushing attack defensively earlier in the game. They really broke down in the second half.
Here is a injury report list for practice today. Unfortunately, Daniel Fells with a neck issue. Peyton Hillis with a concussion.
Yeah, he was sent home.
As well as Jaquan Williams.
Yeah,
so both of them were sent home today because of concussion. Cullen Jenkins with a calf. Rashad Jennings with a knee, but apparently doing better. I mean, you hosted the Tom Coughlin press conference on MSG. Tom Coughlin feels pretty confident that Rashad Jennings is going to suit up and play against San Francisco on Sunday, right?
Yeah, and I think last week was the first time he actually was doing more of the running, cutting, and just doing football-only things in terms of his rehabilitation, not – you know, sitting in the rehab room and doing the rehab portion, but the football stuff. This week, he probably does a lot more football stuff, you know, integrating himself in team periods and then making sure there are no setbacks. I think for the medical staff to clear Rashad Jennings, he's got to go through a full day of practice, team periods, running, cutting, you know, feeling some physical contact without swelling that knee again and setting it back a week. So I think this is the week where, and I think we'll know by Friday, whether or not Rashad Jennings is going to play. Because, again, you talk about Peyton Hillis, who's got a concussion. He's probably not going to play this week. Michael Cox is out for the season. And you've got Andre Williams. And they just signed a new running back.
Off the Dolphins practice
squad.
Yeah,
exactly, which I don't think...
Orleans, and I want to say... Darkwa?
Yeah.
I might not be pronouncing that properly. I apologize. Yeah. We'll definitely find the proper pronunciation today.
And then
after
you got
practice.
I mean, Hanoski. I mean, you know, you might be down to one back, plays with one back with Hanoski back there just in terms of a blocker. So the running back position is thin. And then Jaquan Williams with the other concussion, the linebacker position is thin as well because you lost Beeson a few weeks ago. If Jaquan Williams doesn't play, doesn't get cleared this week.
Spencer Paysinger.
Yeah, it's Spencer Paysinger and Mark Herzlich, and that's it. In terms of the backups.
Mathias Kiwanuka dealing with a knee and DeMontre Moore dealing with a shoulder as well. So just to get up to speed on some of the unfortunate injury issues. And my heart goes out to Michael Cox. He's such a nice young man. And you hate to see that happen to somebody who's really just such a nice young man. Anyway, 201-939-4513 is the phone number, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Aaron from Rochester, calling in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're first up. What you got for
us? Hey, how you doing, guys? How y'all doing this afternoon?
Hey, Aaron.
I just want to touch on a couple things. The offense. Now, in my beliefs, and only you might really could appreciate this, because if I'm not mistaken, I don't see on the sidelines, I don't see nobody talking to each other, nobody pumping each other up, something. I look on the sidelines, I see everybody just, you know, one person this way, that person that way. It's like, I don't like to see that. Another thing, if your number one go down, your number one receiver go down, it should be somebody to say, okay, I'm going to step up and I'm going to rally the troops together. As much as everybody want to point it to Eli and this person, if I'm Odell Beckham, I'm grabbing Eli by the face mask and telling him, no, pass me the ball. I'm being stingy. I'm going to get on some T.O. stinginess. Not like, say, like, make the act of everything. But this guy, the only guy that's showing some heart, some fight for a guy to come from the same school as Ruben Randle, he know the playbook or something. He's showing more aggressiveness than Randle. It just blew my mind. It's like, I don't understand how this kid was injured like almost the whole season and he's progressing. And Ruben Randle, who's been here 3 years now, they say your third year you're supposed to.
Yeah, you are. You are by your third year in the league. I John Gruden said that. Rookies are rookies. Second year players step up, but you are who you are. Your third year in the league.
Thank you.
That's. I mean, I'm not going to blame this on the coach. I'm going to blame this on the players. I don't see no heart. I mean, from the years I've been watching the Giants, they show heart. Even if they was down, they would show some fight, some something. You know, I'm not seeing that. I ain't seeing no continuity with anybody, you know.
Yeah.
But thank you for taking my call. I've been trying to get in for months now, but thank you for taking my call. And yeah, enjoy your day.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Really appreciate it. Your thoughts on Ruben Randle? It was something last Wednesday when we hosted the show. It was something that we talked at length about, and of course all the calls about Corey Washington. But your thoughts on Ruben Randle and what you saw or did not see this past week against Seattle?
I think Ruben Randle made some better plays than he did last week. And again, we haven't seen a consistent Ruben Randle for 5-6 weeks at a time, 4 weeks at a time. We haven't seen that this year. One thing we did see, which I was impressed with, is Preston Parker. From all the drops he had last week, he really bounced back. He bounced back from the adversity and the criticism of how he played last week against the Indianapolis Colts and did well. Preston Parker did well. But again, going back to Aaron's comment about the sideline communication, you know, offense is different, you know, and I think sometimes we have to understand as fans that, you know, for me as a player, that defensively you line up and you execute and you react. You react to what the offense is doing. You carry out your defensive game plan, but then you react. So that's a lot more emotionally and mentally, you know, that's more emotionally driven defensively. Offensively, you're constantly thinking, analyzing, communicating, you know, reacting to what defense is doing, making split. You're not going to see a lot of rah-rah on the offensive side of the ball. Like now, you might see some players that are animated. Aaron mentioned, you know, T.O. and these kind of guys. But number one, the way this organization is, you won't see a lot of those type of characters in this building. You just won't. But secondly, in the offensive demeanor, it's for me, I'd rather have guys executing up and down the field, getting in the end zone, scoring points, than guys grabbing each other by the face mask and saying, let's get this thing going. Yeah, that works in high school and college and things like that. But when offense, you've got to execute. I mean, I want to see the routes run properly. I want to see the offensive line blocking. I want to see the receiver and the quarterback have a great relationship. The hot routes built. I mean, that's what I want to see. Now, if a guy's going to stand up and get guys riled up and going, that's fine. But honestly, these are NFL football players, Anita. They get paid a lot of money, rightfully so. But the rah-rah stuff is more of a defensive mentality. And then in terms of the receiver, yeah. Look, we've said this for years about – not years, but for a while about Reuben Randle and where what the perception of where he is compared to you see a guy like Odell Beckham come in and give the offense that spark that maybe Reuben Randle should have been giving the team, especially as soon as Victor Cruz went down.
Really quick, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings. I played again this week.
How'd you do?
Well, Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, what was that?
Ba-dum-ba-dum.
Yeah, so well. So I lost. But it's really, it's so much fun to do. Win cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend. Their first place takes 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now to enter the code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings, I didn't even know that. Oh, I could play for free? DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millions. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. I'm going to make you do this weekend. I want you to pick a team.
Okay.
We're going to have some fun.
Right.
Okay.
Pick a team really, right now?
No. Oh. As we get closer to the weekend, I'm going to have you pick a team on DraftKings. Really quick, did you hear the Josh McCown, quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks? Did you hear his post-game press conference where he started crying?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't see it.
He couldn't get 1-8. Like, they're 1-8. The Bucks are 1-8. Probably one of the most disappointing teams. I mean, because of the amount of money that they spent in the offseason, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
They go out, they draft Mike Evans, they bring in Josh McCown.
And Lovie Smith.
And I'm a big Lovie Smith fan.
Yeah, me too.
So very, very disappointed. But anyway, very emotional, Josh McCown. Couldn't even get, like lip quivering. Like, couldn't even get 1-8 out of his mouth. And really broke down with the media. And after the game, and of course, like everybody's response, what are you doing? You're a man. No crying in football. And after the game, Lovie said, you know what? I'd rather have a player who's that upset and that emotional about this team being 1-8 than a player who doesn't give a damn.
Right. I agree 100%.
You know what I mean? So with that being said, I mean, I could understand where the Giants fans are. Hey, where's the emotion in this? This is the New York Football Giants. How are you okay at 3-6? Who's angry? Who's upset? I mean, Antrell Roll's really the only one that I think on a weekly basis, and that's because he has his weekly hit on WFAN, is the one who really comes out and voices his unhappiness.
And the irony, Anita, the Giants were 3-6 this time last year after starting off 0-6. So this time last year, it's like, oh, they're 3-0 now, and they've won three in a game. And there was criticism about the quality of the quarterbacks that they were playing when they started their winning streak. This time, it's should have won the Arizona game. Philly, goose egg on the road in the division. Dallas played better but lost. Same thing the next week. Indianapolis Monday night, Andrew Luck clearly a cut above the rest, and then now this week they got physically outmatched. So the Giants unfortunately are having a rough time of getting this thing right, losing in different forms and different fashions. So whether it's a blowout on the road in the division or lose a close game in the fourth quarter or get physically outmatched, it's not good for space for Big Blue right now.
Again, Roman Oben, Anita Marks, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com with you until 1 o'clock Eastern time. Giants are practicing right now as we're hosting the show. Following practice, they'll be made available to the media, and a lot of those interviews will be put up on Giants.com, so make sure you revisit Giants.com a little bit later on this evening. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in on the show. That's how you do it. Also, monitoring Twitter, and I will share your tweets, comments, questions on the show. Let's continue with our calls. And we have Ernest calling in from Connecticut. Ernest, welcome.
Thank you, Anir and Roman Novus. I can't pronounce your name right, so don't get upset.
You know what? It took me a year, and he was actually quite frustrated with it. So we're in the same boat. Don't worry about
it. Oben. Okay, it doesn't really rhyme, but it kind of does. You get a pass. Go ahead.
But anyway, talking about the players, I think that those Giant players have been playing their hearts out. That's why you have so many players on the injury reserve list. What I think, I'm not, you know, I can't, you know, be a Monday morning quarterback, but from watching Coughlin from the time he was with Jacksonville, first of all, let me just make a quick statement. Do you remember when Kansas City, I think it was 1972, 73, when they beat the Vikings, the Kansas City Chiefs, were the underdogs in that game because of the, you know, the Purple People Eaters and everything else? Well, Hank Stram came up with that system. He came up with that zone system that shut down, what's his name, their receiver. But anyway, you know, in cap. And that system was what really won that game because on paper, the Vikings had the better team, okay? And I'm saying that to say this. When the Giants went in at halftime, and I noticed this in every single game, and I have been saying this all along, Coughlin does not, and they won a Super Bowl because they had dominating players, does not really know X's and O's. His thing is put a hat on a hat and beat the person in front of you. But sometimes you may not be able to beat that person in front of you. Maybe sometimes you have to study the other team's players, and sometimes you may have to come up with a scheme that helps you to help someone else defeat the player in front of them to accomplish what they have to do. Okay, I don't think Coughlin does that. And I think that's why a lot of times we have went into games where we should have blown teams out, and it turned out to be a rough game because he does not know X's and O's. That's why he does not make adjustments at halftime. His philosophy is you beat the man in front of you, and that's how we win. That is not a coach. The players are playing their hearts out. Some of those, that's why you have so many players on injury right now.
Ernest.
And so I think it's time for Coughlin to go. He's won the two championships. He's never had a stellar record. The year that we did win a Super Bowl that year, we were 9-something. And like I said, we had a dominating defensive line. We had good running backs. We had good receivers. Remember, we had Plexico Burris.
Yeah, get to your point, Ernest. Sir.
But now that we
Ernest.
His players would have to be dominant players to the other team. That's his philosophy. So if his players are all not dominant from
Ernest,
one to
I get what you're saying. Ernest, thank you for the phone call. I get it. His point is he'd like to see Tom Coughlin go.
Okay.
I personally don't feel that Tom Coughlin is the reason this team is losing.
I don't either. Nor is it Eli Manning's fault.
I think that there are a number of reasons why this team is losing. Tom Coughlin is not one of them. And I can understand where fans might disagree with me, and that's fine. You're entitled to do that. I want you to comment on this, though, and that is the role of a head coach. You know, every head coach is different. You've got a number of head coaches out there in the NFL that are either defensive-minded or offensive-minded. Like, for example, let's take Rex Ryan, for example, okay? Rex Ryan is the head coach of the Jets, but he's such a defensive-minded guy that he's got Dennis Thurman, his defensive coordinator, and Rex is a little superstitious. So I want to say he's always got him either on his right side or his left side. And Rex is the head coach. Those are his responsibilities, but he still has his hands in the defense.
Yeah, of course.
Then you've got Andy Reid, for example, who's the head coach, but he's an offensive minded coach. So he's on the sideline calling plays to Alex Smith, and he's got his hands in the offense. Tom Coughlin's not doing that. Tom Coughlin is the head coach, and he's letting McAdoo call the offense, and he's letting Perry Fuel call the defense. So just because he's not one of those coaches on the sideline like Sean Payton.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Or Chip Kelly, who's doing all this to Mark. You see that? Did you see? He's got like 15 guys on the sideline, and they're all doing these like, you know, like all this, you know, and
like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, and then you don't know which one really is calling in the real. Just because he's not coaching and it doesn't make one coaching style right and one wrong. It's just the way that things operate here with the Giants. It doesn't, and they've won Super Bowls like this, so it doesn't make it wrong. And there's just different coaching styles, and I mean, please elaborate on that.
Yeah, and every system or every head coach runs his organization the same way. I mean, you look at Mike Tomlin when he got the job in Pittsburgh, a guy who came from a Tampa 2 situation. You know, he's a young guy, was like 35 years old at the time. He kept Bruce Arians there as the offensive coordinator, and he kept the defensive coordinator, who's at the Steelers now, Dick LeBeau.
Right.
I mean, he didn't change anything, but he still had the authority of the as a head coach. Took the team to the Super Bowl, 2 years later, and then 2 years later took them to another one and lost that one. But again, there's different, and this is a young guy, a guy that has the right to come in and change everything. So, and I played for Marty Schottenheimer in San Diego, where Cam Cameron was in charge of the offense. Wade Phillips was the defensive coordinator. You had two, head coach caliber guys, guys who actually were head coaches, running the show. And then the head coach kind of serves as a facilitator of the bigger picture. And you cannot fault Tom Coughlin for not getting Anita, like you said, calling the plays himself or being more directly involved with one side of football. You can't fault him for that.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Delaware. Ivan wants to join us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Ivan, welcome.
How's it going, Anita and Roman?
Excellent. Yourself. Go.
Hello?
Yes, yeah. We're saying excellent.
You're
doing
on?
Excellent.
Oh, okay. Yes. So it's going to be hard for me to follow up, somebody saying that Coughlin doesn't know X's and O's, but I'll try my best. There's plenty of blame to go around. We all know that's overstated. But it's little things that bother me as a fan, and I try to be one of those fans that, let's fire everybody and go that route, because I don't agree with that. But with little things such as somebody like DeMontre Moore playing three snaps this last game, Bromley not even dressing. Now, I understand young players and the development and things of that nature. However, when you're at 3-16, last year you were 0-16, which was a 3-16, and we know how that ended. And your defense is in the bottom. I think we're 32nd actually this year.
Yeah.
I think that you need to let those guys get more playing time. I'm not even saying start them. I'm not saying let them play 60-70% of the snaps, but they need to be out there. We got to develop them players. And I just wonder, and I know a GM and coach, and I know they have to get along, and there's things they may disagree on. I really wonder how Reese, because I know he can't be happy when he has certain guys that he brings in. And these are high draft picks. I'm not talking about the Corey Washingtons, and I know there's a whole legion of fans that want to see the undrafted player because they think he's going to be the next Cruz. I'm talking about guys that you've taken, with relatively high draft picks and the development not taking place and waiting a whole year before they get in there. And then, my thing is, let's find out if these guys – if they're worth keeping, if they're worth, developing, if they got something that they bring to the table. We spent a couple seasons with Robinson. Oh, he's a project. Well, he wasn't, maybe a top three draft pick, but they still, I think, was it a fourth? Can't remember. But, we waited all that time, and it's like, let's find out if this guy can play. If he can't play, let's move on. I understand if you got a top 10 defense and you got players playing at a Pro Bowl level, of course, you're not just going to implement these guys more. And I see, like, the 49ers and Borland and guys like that that they plug in there and then produce. If a team like that with that kind of a defense and the record that they've had the last couple of years can implement young players, and I've seen it with Seattle, I've seen it with other player teams that are relatively have, consistent good records, why is it that the Giants, and I understand it's Coughlin and his philosophy with young players, but that part I've never quite agreed with him, and I appreciate him being our coach. I appreciate the two titles. I'm not a Coughlin basher. I'm actually a supporter, but I just feel that I wonder if there's a disconnect there between Reese and Coughlin. Maybe Coughlin wasn't in agreement with some of these guys, or why is it that he doesn't let these guys actually get more playing time? So I just want to see what you guys
sure.
have to say about that.
This is something that, and thank you for your call again. Thank
yeah,
you for
thank
tuning
you very
in
much.
To Big Blue Kickoff
right.
Live. This is something that we've discussed on the show before, and that is, listen, just like we were just talking about, there's different coaching styles. There's different ways that organizations run. Like, for example, Jerry Reese and his scouting department have really all control in regard to who they go out and who they draft and who they bring in.
Right.
Obviously, you would expect that there'd be some synergy in regard to who they draft and how that fits the system. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case with David Wilson, right?
Right.
A number of the coaches came out and said that, wow, that Doug Martin would have fit the system a little bit better than David Wilson. David Wilson didn't know how to pass protect. In Gilbride's system, it was just different. when I covered the Baltimore Ravens, it was more of a group effort. So, for example, at one point in time, they brought in Darius Hayward Bay from Maryland. So the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach at the time was Hugh Jackson, Joe Flacco were all part of that workout with Darius Hayward Bay. And then when Darius Hayward Bay leaves, they all get together and they're like, okay, how does he fit your system? Joe, what do you think about him? What do you think? Does he run crisp routes? How do you feel that – what's his hand? What does his feet work like? So the Ravens organization is more of kind of like they work somebody out. Everybody's there. Then they meet about that person.
Right.
It's not the way that this organization works. It's Jerry and his scouting department goes after the guys that they want. They draft him. And don't get me wrong. I'm sure Tom has some say in it. But it's more like this is their department. They go out. They bring in the talent. Here, Tom, coach him, fit him in your system, and make them work. Again, doesn't mean one system is right and one is wrong. Because, again, look at all the championships the Giants have won here. Doesn't mean the system's wrong. It's just different.
Yeah, and also let's keep in mind that the assistant coaches also do their own evaluations. The position coaches, Coach Pat Flaherty, for example, he'll evaluate and watch film on the top 10 guards, centers, tackles, and he will have to give his own grade, his own evaluation on all of them.
And he gives that information to the scouting.
You've got the
right?
Scouting personnel. Obviously, there's always some free agents. So I've been in these rooms when coach is looking at, potential free agents from around the league, at every position. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. And obviously they're all in the room when those selections are made. So everyone has an understanding. Now, the sixth round pick, fifth rounders, if you didn't get a chance to see the guy and it's a guy that wasn't on your radar and you ended up grading him, then they can go look at all the Blesto and the scouting reports. Yeah, I mean, and you find a jewel or a gem in one of those every now and then, yeah, that's fine. But typically the top 100 guys, for example, have been pretty well scrubbed by all parties, coaching, scouting alike. And let's go back, Anita, to Ivan from Delaware and in terms of, the playing time. Look, sometimes, he talked about DeMontre Moore, Jay Bromley. Bromley didn't dress. DeMontre Moore played, I think, 3 or 4 snaps. And then he has a shoulder injury. But I think he's going to go. I mean, he just has a limited today with his shoulder. Sometimes, playing time can be circumstantial. Because if you're dressing, you're playing. And I've seen a lot of players go from dressing and getting 3 snaps to dressing and starting the next week and having to start 3 or 4 games. So it's just that when it all evens out, you hope that each player, these young rising players, whether it's Corey Washington, Jay Bromley, DeMontre Moore, over a period of time, they did progress. They did get playing time. And I think sometimes when you're losing 3 or 4 games in a row and when you microanalyze, oh, this guy only got 3 snaps this week, he doesn't play enough. Let's look at it over time, and let's say out of the however many snaps they get, did they maximize those reps? And that was my criticism to, I think, a fan that called about the Corey Washington. I was saying offensively, Corey Washington came into the season as the number 5 guy, and he needed to develop. He needed to develop to become a number 4, number 3, a number 2 guy, what have you. Now, injuries can enable a guy to move up a little bit faster, which is usually likely to happen at some point during the season, or a starter playing poorly or something, and then that you naturally said, we got to give this guy another shot. So, again, it goes back to my word circumstances. So there's always circumstances that dictate whether or not a guy gets more playing time or a guy develops faster than he should. But at the end of the day, you're an NFL player, whether you're a first-year guy, second-year guy, whatever, 10th year. If you're on the roster, if you're getting a check, if you're on the act, you got to be ready to play. Whether we've seen guys, Anita, we've seen guys historically, hey, they just signed this guy off the street. He came in and had 5 catches for 80. I mean, we've seen that. This guy was on the practice squad Wednesday. He got activated Thursday, and he ended up starting. I mean, we've seen that over time. So circumstances, I think, are the key when guys play or not. But if a guy, again, the Ruben Randle discussion, he's not – lights out as you would expect, but then you see Odell Beckham do the same, and they came from the same school. They were teammates. He was like a big brother to Odell Beckham when he was at LSU. So circumstances change, and obviously circumstances have changed. No Victor Cruz, a lot of Odell Beckham. He's given the offense a spark. A guy who was a rookie who 4 weeks ago hadn't even played a snap.
let's just go through some of the tweets. Again, hashtag Giants Chat. You can find us at Giants on Twitter. Myself as well, at Anita Marks. And then Robin is r_open on Twitter. After all that from Ernest, you missed his main point. The main point is that Coughlin doesn't make enough in-game adjustments. Well, after all that I said, you didn't understand what I said. And that is, it is not his responsibility. He has allowed Perry Fuel to run the defense. He has allowed Ben McAdoo to run the offense. And they're the ones who have to make the in-game adjustments. They're the ones at halftime that right. have to go into the locker room and say, all right, let's counter with this. This isn't working. Let's right. try to change this up. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure at halftime, Tom goes in there, spends a little time. At halftime.
And you're talking about 12 minutes now.
Yeah. At halftime, by the way, locker room splits into two. And I can't assume that a lot of people have been in a locker room at halftime, but locker room splits into two. Defense goes on one side. Offense goes on the other. Defensive coordinators in 12 minutes talking to his defensive players. And then, of course, special individual position coaches are also – they break. They talk. So I'm sure Tom's spending time on one side, and then he goes over the other. And I'm sure he's, like, already thinking about the suggestions he can make. But, again, this is why he has Perry Field doing defense. He's got McAdoo doing offense. And they're the ones – that have to make these in-game adjustments. It's the way it's run here.
Right. Right.
Do you think – here we go. This is from Mike Angel TV. Do you think we get back to our winning ways with a healthy Rashad Jennings? Again, fingers crossed he's going to suit up and play against the San Francisco 49ers. I do believe that his presence has been missed, especially in the passing attack. What he was able to do, that kind of that dump-off, that relief for Eli Manning in the passing game, I think was priceless.
And just the way he read the holes. I mean, he hits the holes a lot differently. And Andre Williams is a good young back, and he's going to be an ascending player. But you saw Andre Williams a lot of times, like, really be a little tight as he's running
because
through the
hole. But I think he's really scared to fumble the ball.
Well, yeah, I'm sure as a rookie, they drill that into his head. And,
yeah.
and based on how
and
Dave Wilson
hard
was treated.
To run like that.
Yeah, it's like, what's the guy, a Pudge Huffelfinger, the first running back in the NFL the first guy to ever get paid to play a game. I guess he was the first NFL player. That was it. Make sure we check that. Pudge Heffelfinker, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Back when they used to all run the ball like this.
Our phenomenal producer. He's on it right now. I guarantee he's Googling it right now. Here we go. This is from Base718. Wants to know, has Dominic Rogers Cromartie been healed? I don't see him on the injury report list any
Which
longer.
Which is good, because he's been on there every Wednesday for a different injury, literally. So... You're hoping
so he's not on the injury report, which is a positive. But what's really interesting about the San Francisco 49ers offense, this is an offense. They bring in Brandon Lloyd, okay? As we know, Anquan Boldin's there. Crabtree's there. Vernon
right.
Davis, arguably one of the best tight ends in the NFL. Right. Vernon Davis and Michael Crabtree have
Stevie
had a
Johnson is a possession guy.
Par season. I mean, they have been a shell of themselves.
Right.
Okay, I mean, Anquan Boldin has been the most reliable receiver for Colin Kaepernick. Vernon Davis hasn't done much of anything. Crabtree is just, I don't know what his deal is. Obviously, they have that 1-2 punch in the backfield with Frank Gore. You get a heavy dose of Frank Gore. Kind of ran out of gas at the end of the fourth quarter.
Right.
And then, of course, they
right.
went into overtime against the Saints. And so, at that point, we saw a lot of rookie Carlos Hyde. But this isn't, again, kind of like Seattle, you thought going into the season that this would be kind of a prolific kind of passing attack, Colin Kaepernick getting all these targets,
right.
I mean, all these weapons to work with,
right.
and it really hasn't happened.
Yeah, and
so
know,
I guess what I'm saying here is, I'm not worried about any receiver, this is where I'm going with this, Dominic Rogers Cromartie is healthy, but I'm not worried about any receiver on this team. What I am worried about is, are they going to take a page out of the Seattle playbook and see, oh, wow, those bootlegs and those read option plays suited Russell Wilson so well. Obviously, this defense is having a problem with that, and so let's try to implement that for Colin Kaepernick. That's what I'm more worried about.
Yeah, and I think in terms of just looking at it from a player's perspective, you have to expect the defense not to play like that 2 weeks in a row. Now, playing the Monday night game against the Indianapolis Colts, this is more passing, more prolific offense to playing this blue-collar Seattle Seahawks, you would have thought that Seahawks offensive attack played better to what the Giants do all defensively. Physical team, good tacklers, but obviously 350 yards on the ground later, that wasn't the case. with Colin Kaepernick, he's, you know, 6'4", 230 pounds. He's a longer, taller guy, not as shifty of a runner as Russell Wilson. You know, Frank Gore is a different type of back, still physical back. You got to tackle him.
But no Marshawn Lynch.
No Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
So I think you have a different type of attack. And I'll be honest with you, maybe one of the saving graces for the 49ers, and if the Giants can find a way to start fast again like they did last week, you know, you're playing a West Coast team that's playing it at 8 o'clock, I mean, at 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning their time. So, if they played a tough overtime game against New Orleans Saints last week, now they get on the flight, come here, wake up physically, biologically a lot earlier than their bodies are used to. Maybe a fast start offensively can lead to a defensive attack that makes them throw in the second half, and Colin Kaepernick isn't doing as much of the read option as he did, as they saw against Seattle.
Let's continue with our calls with you for another 15 to 20 minutes here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're watching on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Let's go to Charlie calling in from Maine. Charlie, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you all doing?
Hey, okay. Charlie.
Hey, I just want to piggyback a little bit on what Ivan was saying in Delaware. Shout out to him. I just heard the conference call with Coach Coughlin, and, you know, somebody asked him, are you going to change up the rotation in your defense? No, we're not changing up. You know, we're just going to use the same people that went out there and gave up 350 yards rushing. I don't get that. Why not put some people in? These guys aren't doing it. They're not playing. Why not put in Bromley? Why not put in Wynn? He hasn't even got a shirt yet. Why not put in some guys? Change up your rotation. Get these players out that have not been playing and give these other people. They can't do any worse than 350 yards. I don't care who they are.
I hope
even
not.
If they're on the practice squad, they can't do any worse than 350 yards rushing. Play these other players. That's the problem I think a lot of people, Giant Nation, has with Coughlin, is that when you say you're not going to change up your rotation, Kuhn should not be playing. Patterson should not be playing. Williams should not be playing. He should maybe be on third down. That's it. I mean, he probably won't be because he's got a concussion. Paysinger should play. Where has he been? Where's Paysinger been? I mean, we got to change it up. We, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We can't keep using the same players and keep the execution is what we're lacking. Well, these guys can't execute. So you got to put in other players.
Thank you for your phone call. You make an interesting point, and this was actually a question I was going to throw your way, and that is, you know, look at the division right now. Giants 3-6, Washington 3-6, Dallas 7-3. They're on a bye this week. The Eagles 7-2. Mark Sanchez, wow, who knew? Going up against Green Bay at Lambeau Field this week, this coming Sunday. Interesting to see what happens there. Do they go to 8-2 while Dallas is on a bye? But obviously, the way that this division is coming together is that
right.
It's going to come down to the wire between the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys in regard to who gets in, and probably the other team will make it in as a wild card. That's what I'm assuming.
Right.
So why not kind of see what's here? See what you're working with. Why not put in some guys, some other talent, to just kind of like, let's see if we can get a spark. Let's see if you know that some of the young talent that they have drafted, that they brought in free agency or whatever the case, kind of see what they can do. Because you know, I hate to say it, but realistically, you know, this team is not making the playoffs.
Listen, Anita, if you're down to the last 4 weeks of the season, for example, and this team is 4-8, and you know that at best a 4-game winning streak would give them the 500, one game better than last year, I think that's when you start saying, okay, let's just start integrating these guys. I think now at this
point. At that point, then you think fans could anticipate that?
I think right now you're not going to just sit Mathias Kiwanuka, for example, so that you can get DeMontre Moore, he could start and he could play most of the game, just see what he's got. You're still trying to win games. You still have guys that are starters that are better and have earned the right to be starters better than the guys that are backing them up. So it's, you know, I'm trying to, you know, and I feel Charlie's pain in Maine. I feel Charlie's
You're
pain.
You're a poet. You didn't even know it.
So are you. But, yeah, look, I feel Charlie's pain, and I totally understand that. But you can't just change rosters and start putting guys on the field and putting other guys on the bench, because rosters, this isn't college. I mean, you only have 53 guys in the active roster. You're only dressing 46. And in the terms of, I mean, let's look at the linebackers. Jaquan Williams has a concussion. He's probably not going to play on Sunday. So, yeah, where's Spencer Paisinger been? He's going to have his chance, because I think athletically he's better than Mark Herzlick at that position. But after Mark Herzlick, that's it. There's nobody on the street. There's nobody to sign. All the best players are on their respective teams, and all the guys on the street that you bring in, practice squad, free agents, whatever, those guys aren't as good as guys that are on the rosters now. Now, there's guys that could develop, that eventually be good, but, again, you can't just wipe out starters and just replace them with other guys. That just doesn't make sense. That doesn't make roster sense. There's nobody better at safety than Ontrell Roll on this team. And if he's not playing, it's because he's injured, not because we're going to just give someone else a chance. Devin Kennard, linebacker. I'm just saying, for example.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what fans are talking about. I'm talking about players that aren't producing.
Right.
So why not give somebody else a chance to see if they can produce? And also, oh, by the way, let's see what they're made of. So we have an idea of kind of what we can expect possibly next season or see them develop the last few games.
It's too early to start talking about next season. I mean, look, last year, you talk about Adrian Robinson. You can talk about James Brewer, guys like that. I mean, and I've heard fans say this term, like, why are these guys on scholarship for 3 or 4 years? And they're not good, and you should, you know, I understand all that. But we saw in week 17 or week 16 last year against Detroit, Jarrell Jernigan, you know, caught a ball on 4th and 8 that won the football game. And then that's when, you know, John Merrick came out and said, why do we take this long to find out if Jernigan was a good player? Well, he earned a right to have his chance this year, and unfortunately he's injured. So, you know, I mean, last year I think 91 games were missed because of injury. I mean, what would this offense be right now? Where would this team be right now if Rashard Jennings never got injured, if David Wilson never got injured, if Victor Cruz never got injured, if Schwartz never got injured,
if Jarrell
Jernigan never got injured?
It's a great question. Unfortunately,
if John Beason never got injured.
Unfortunately, we'll never know.
If Walter Thurman never got injured.
Really quick, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry. I'm going to do that. I'm getting you a team this coming Sunday.
Let's do it.
On the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Come on.
I'll take 10 grand.
I know. Christmas is right around the corner. You got two boys.
Yeah, it gets a lot more expensive as they get older.
You need this 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter the code BLUE. To play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millions. And enter Blue for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's how you find them. Let's continue with our calls. We're with you for another 10 minutes. 201-939-4513. We go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Anita and Roman.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Roman, is a wonderful picture, a wonderful black and white picture above your right-hand shoulder of a certain number 81 at an all-pro for the New York football Giants some year.
Right up there.
Oh, I see.
Unfortunately,
he hung up.
Unfortunately, we lost you. If you can, please call back. Let's head out to the West Coast, Los Angeles, California. Wow, pretty early out there. Andy watching Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. Andy, welcome.
Hi, Anita and Roman. I was just wondering, I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening for the past few years, but this is the first time I called. I was wondering, with all the running back problems we have now, it's kind of slim, the way I see it. But I was wondering, could we bring back a running back named Andre Brown, who was with us about a year ago or so, or a year?
Andre Brown was in camp with – God, I mean, who was in camp with him? Didn't even make the team, wasn't – Well, the Houston Texans, yeah. Andre Brown was in camp in Houston, didn't have a good training camp, wasn't getting the carries, and I don't even think he was healthy. He got suspended for 8 games, so Andre Brown is not a...
I think Adderall.
Yeah, Andre Brown is not an option, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I was, you know, I know with all the problems that we have now, or the way it is now, that I just thought that he might be able to come back, because he was a pretty important part of our team.
Yeah, he was. You got anything else?
Thank you very much.
That's it?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, so let's look forward to San Francisco. In regard to, I mean, you were part of the you hosted the show for the Tom Coughlin press conference earlier today. What do you feel the mood is, the vibe? How does a team who unfortunately is sitting at 3-6 with a very good team coming over from the West Coast, how do they get ready for this matchup, Roman?
Well, I think you're looking at, first of all, an offense that has actually improved. I wouldn't say significantly in terms of, you know, the first half, first quarter performance, attacking. And you have to look for them to make that same improvement Sunday at home at 1 o'clock. And I think you're looking at a defense that's been beaten up on the ground with a read option. With they've gotten beaten up in the air, Andrew Luck the week before. And I think in terms of the pride, and I think you look at – I go back to Anshar Roe's comments last week about pride and fight and heart. When defense takes that kind of a beating, I think there's a tendency that they come back and play a lot better. Again, I've been a West Coast team. I've had to play a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast. If that team jumps on you, you're not really hitting your stride until the second half. You're waking up early and all those things that you have to manage. I've been on teams where you start practicing at 10 o'clock in the morning to get used to the East Coast trip because it comes fast. But again, four games in a row is not acceptable. Losing four games in a row is not acceptable. Being the same record at 3-6 that they were this time last year is obviously not acceptable in this organization. But the mood right now, and I think from Tom Coughlin's press conference, this is like a Monday in the NFL. Wednesday's the first day that you put in the first initial game plan. You see what you got. You look at the injured players. You know, and then the Friday being like a Sunday when you play the game at the end of the week. So Tom Coughlin was very upbeat. He was very positive. He was saying, hey, we're hoping to fix the things based on a week of practice and preparation that we didn't do well last week. He was very complimentary about Odell Beckham's continued improvement. He's gotten better every week since that Atlanta game. So I think at this point, you know, Tom Coughlin is going in this approach of just, Let's be positive. Let's continue to push because, I mean, who knows, Anita, right? You beat the 49ers this week. You beat Dallas at home on Sunday Night Football. Now the schedule gets a little bit easier, and maybe you go on a six-game winning streak. I don't know. That's up to the guys in the locker room. That's up to the coaching staff. But at the very least, in terms of the mood of this team, Tom Coughlin was very positive and upbeat. And I think every team is really a reflection of who they are. Who they have at the head coach at the leadership position.
All right, again, 201-939-4513. Just about 5 minutes left, and we've got Lynn calling in from Maryland. He's on hold. Lynn.
Lenny.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, guys?
Excellent.
How you doing?
Excellent.
You know, once I get past the emotion of the loss, and sometimes I get to the middle of the week, I start to rationalize a little bit. I mean, Preston Parker started at the slot receiver spot this last weekend after a miserable game against the Colts for one reason and one reason only. He was the best slot receiver on our roster.
Right.
Okay, he had a bad game against the Colts. I mean, the coaches are playing the best guys. As soon as you, Roman, in your career, you had to be the best to start for as many times as you started in the NFL,
right. Many
games as you started. In the coach's eyes, you had to be the best offensive tackle available to that team on that day in the whole darn world.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Else somebody else would have been in there.
Yeah.
I mean, these coaches aren't stupid. The other thing that happens, and you got 99% of the way there. I just want to say one more thing to add to your argument about playing the best players. There'd be mutiny in the locker room. The players know who the best players are. I mean, if somebody was going to suddenly, the coach came in and said, "Oh, Robin, I'm going to sit you this week. You know, I want to play this seventh-round draft choice. I just want to see what he can do the last 4 weeks."
Yeah.
What are you going to say to the coach? What?
And
you're doing what?
Right.
You're doing what?
Right.
And the other players are going to look around and say, "When is that going to happen to me? This is my livelihood. I'm the best guy here."
Yeah.
You got to play the best guys.
Yeah.
I mean, coach isn't playing. It's not training camp. It's not OTAs.
You're not trying to figure out combinations of things that you do well.
I mean, you got to play. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm unhappy with some of the, with the play of some of the guys that are on the field for us. But one thing for sure, they're the best guys we got. You don't try out guys now. I mean, there's a whole off season for that kind of thing. And besides that, again, I'll get back. I think they'd be mutiny in the locker room.
Yeah, hey Lenny.
What the heck? Yeah,
you're I think you're the smartest caller we've had in a while in terms of answering this question because.
Hey Roman, I'm just a fan. You know, I don't know all that much. I'm just a fan, but sometimes again, it takes me to Wednesday to kind of rationalize why is Parker out there? He's out there because he's the best guy we got.
Yeah. And until
he gives us the best chance to win. Hey, you know, when you're playing a 3-4 defense, Ron, I want to ask you a question, Roman. We're playing a 3-4 defense this weekend. I always think, and you know, the 49ers have some terrific defensive players. So I'm just going to mention a position. I'm not going to mention a particular player's name. If you, on a 3-4, playing a 3-4 defense, if you don't get the nose tackle blocked. I don't care who it is. It doesn't have to be, you know, the guy from New England, the Pro Bowler. It doesn't have to be that guy.
Right.
Just like against the Colts last week, we couldn't get those mediocre nose tackles. They were mediocre players. We couldn't get them blocked. If we can't get the mediocre nose tackles on the 49ers, and these guys are not all pro players, if we can't get those guys blocked Sunday, those linebackers are going to run crazy. They're going to go... the running game is going to get stuffed against the 3-4 defense. Tell me if I'm wrong, Roman, because certainly you know football more than I do, to be honest. It starts, I don't care who the defensive end is and whether he's an all-pro or not. He excels if you can't get that nose tackle blocked.
Yeah, and
Lynn, thank you for the call.
Ian Williams, you know, Justin Smith, I mean, they've got a good physical defensive line in 49ers. You know, and I've been on teams that ran a 3-4. The nose guard is the key. If you can't control those A-gaps in the running game, you're going to get penetration. You're going to get a lot of leakage into the backfield. You're not going to be able to really set the point of attack to run the football.
Two key things going into this matchup. Number one, Aldon Smith comes back this week.
Right.
For San Francisco. And number two, what I think is a really big key is that Patrick Willis is out with a toe injury.
Yeah.
He had to have toe surgery, so he's done for the season. And that is so big and that is so crucial. San Francisco is really good with those short intermediate kind of passing routes. So
right.
They've been able to like eliminate tight ends out of offensive schemes. I don't think that's going to be the case. I'm hoping that I know Fells is on the injury report with a neck issue. I'm hoping he'll be ready to go and active. Also, you know, when given an opportunity, we see what Larry Donnell's been able to do. I think the tight ends on the Giants have an opportunity to really make some noise on Sunday with the fact that Patrick Willis is out.
Yeah, and then but Navarro Bowman comes back this week, who many people feel just on the San Francisco side that he's probably a more complete linebacker than Patrick Willis. Patrick Willis obviously being a better tackle, he's physical, but in terms of a good in blitzing coverage, and as a tackler, I mean, Navarro Bowman is a very complete linebacker, so the Titans got their work cut out for him.
All right. Well, hey, listen, we want to thank everybody who tuned in to Big Blue Kickoff Live today. Again, Giants are practicing right now.
Right.
As soon as practice is over, they will address the media. We'll have those sound clips for you on Giants.com a little bit later on. Also, tomorrow, Roman will be back with Paul Dottino. Same time, high noon, Eastern time, right here on Giants.com. And getting you ready, of course, for that Sunday matchup against the San Francisco 49ers. Anything else?
That's it. Real quick, funny story. I remember Butch Davis told me one time, you're our starting left tackle unless we trade for Jonathan Ogden tomorrow. I said, well, that's really encouraging. But, you do play the best players you got, and there aren't players on the street or on the bench that are better than the options that are currently going on Sundays. Everyone's playing the win.
All right. All right, guys. So enjoy the rest of your day, and Roman and Paul Dottino will be back with you tomorrow, high noon, right here on Giants.com.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a kick on punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.